That's got to be my favorite hymn in the book. Fitty in the last verse talks about prone to wander. David wrote Psalm 119, 175 verses. In the last verse, he says, turn me, O Lord. I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant. Turn us again. Luke 17, turn us to give glory unto thee. That's the title. One was turned to glorify God. One out of ten. One out of ten turned to glorify God. All healed by the mercy and grace of God. One gave God all the glory. One. There were many lepers when our Lord walked the earth. Many. It's just stories after story of our Lord healing lepers. Why is that? Well, there's so many. Why? Because that's now. Everybody is a leper. They have this deadly disease called sin. I know, here we go again. But we have one message to a dying world, really. And this came up in the course of our studies. So relevant. Our Lord healed so many that had leprosy. He didn't heal everybody that had leprosy. Could have. But they were surrounded by lepers everywhere. He healed some. One place it says he healed them that had need of healing. There are 10 of these men cried, Jesus, help us, heal us. And he healed all 10 of them. All of them. That asked, he healed them. He healed them that had need, and all who knew and all who needed were healed. Now, isn't that a good picture? Many stories, many. You've heard many sermons because it's such a picture of this disease, this deadly disease. Men have it and don't know it. That's how leprosy starts, you know. It starts on the inside. There's no visible signs on the outside, like our little children that are born, and we look at them, they're born, and you think, I think, how can that little thing be full of sin? Well, not full yet, but it has the full propensity in it. And if left alone, if lives long enough, it's going to break out into full-blown leprosy. We're born, we're conceived in sin. We're brought forth from the womb speaking lies. In Adam, all die. By one man's disobedience, sin came in the world, and so death by sin, both spiritual and physical. Sin. So this is a needful message, isn't it? This is the one thing needful. Healing from this deadly disease. The good news? I got wonderful news. Let me just say it right up front, okay? The bomb might drop. Wouldn't that be wonderful? There's mercy for the poor and needy, for every sin-sick soul, every poor and needy sinner on the face of the earth, no matter what they've done, who they are, black, white, young, old, rich, poor, it doesn't matter, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, Lord, save me from my sin, he will. He will. All who have need of healing, need the mercy of the Lord, and call upon him, turn us, all who turn, all who have been turned and turn to the Lord and fall at his feet like this one man. All who fall at his feet are going to be made holy. Holy. Holy, holy. All right, let's look at it, the story. Verse 11, it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem. I'll stop right there. Back in chapter 13, it says he was journeying toward Jerusalem. His whole life, he came to this earth to go to Jerusalem, to go to a cross outside the camp, outside of Jerusalem. But he came from heaven to this leper colony. He who is spotless, pure, holy, spotless Son of the Most High God, the Holy One of Israel, left the holy heaven, the holy angels, the holy saints to come to this leper colony. And I've read, some of you have read too, how that there were missionaries years ago who wanted to witness to the lepers in leper colony. And you know what they did? They went, you can't minister without going among them. And so they did. They went into these leper colony and they became lepers. But they preached to them. That's what our Lord did. Isn't it? That's what our Lord did. He came to this leper colony. He left the holy, spotless, sinless heaven and God, the holy God, to come to this leper colony, to this evil world, the scriptures call it, to save, not try to save everybody, but to save some. And nobody wanted him. And nobody knew him. And nobody asked for him. And nobody knew they were needed saving. He had to convince them of that. He had to show them. And how did he save his people from this leprosy? He became a leper. He was made sin. He left heaven for one reason, to come to this leper colony, to go to Jerusalem, outside of camp, because scripture says so. He had burned the bodies of the lambs and their bullocks outside the camp. Take it outside and burn that camp like an outcast. Our Lord was a burnt offering. He's crucified on Calvary's tree. A holy God killed him for the sins of all his people. All the sins of God's people were laid on him. He was made sin for them. He became a leper. And God put away leprosy in Christ. How? Burn him. You burn him. You may have forgotten this, but in 1665 and 66, there was a plague, the Black Plague, the bubonic plague hit Europe really hard. It devastated London, England. A quarter of the population died. A quarter of the population died from the Black Plague. It was everywhere. Well, you know what happened? And you know, the 1600s was a decadent time. The Lord set a fire in London, England. And it wiped out half the city. Most of the buildings in that city were burned down. Most people lost their homes. And that's, you know what happened? The plague ended. So the plague was destroyed by fire. And our Lord came down here, became sin for us, and went to the cross and made sin for us, and God burnt his body and put away sin. There's no trace of it. It's gone. Well, so he went to Jerusalem. Now, verse 11 says, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and he entered into a certain village. He passed through. He always was passing through, wasn't he? He came here and he passed through. He didn't stay, but 33 years. Oh, did he not walk wisely and redeem the time? Every person, every place he went was in the direction of saving his people. Every word out of his mouth was for the glory of God to save his people. No idle words with him. No chit-chat, no time to chit-chat. No. Walked with God, did he? And walked in the direction of saving his people. Oh, passed through the certain village. What mercy. This little village of Rocky Mount, Virginia. You know, in 1980 and 80s, 85, when I first came here, I got directions from Ed Perry from, I was up in the mountains. And even today, if you follow your GPS, you're coming on 81, don't follow your GPS. And don't ask Ed for directions. He'll send you Shooting Creek. And you'll get on Shooting Creek and you think, I'm in Central America. I've missed my turn. I'm in Africa. Rocky Mountain, where is that? Elizabeth, I thought, and I got here and I thought, where is this place? I got on Main Street, or downtown Franklin Street now. I got in a zigzag, zigzag, zigzag. I thought, what is this place? This little village, brothers and sisters, why did the Lord come here? You ever thought about that? And he brought many of you from faraway places. Big cities. Birmingham. California. Brought you from Mars. New York. To Rocky Mount, Virginia. Why? Because the gospel's here. Because God's got a people here. He's got lepers that he's calling out. Oh, just a remnant, just 1 out of 10 people, maybe. That's why he came to this place. There was a leper. He's going to turn. He's going to turn him. He's going to heal him. Well, there met him, verse 12, 10 men that were lepers. All of them. They were all lepers, and they all stood afar off. They were all lepers, and they were all afar off. Have you ever heard that before? That's Ephesians. That's Romans 5 and Ephesians 2, isn't it? You that were afar off. They're all lepers. I told John, I love it when I have so many scriptures I want to read and not enough time. I got to pick something. I wanted to read Ephesians 2 for the scripture reading. Remember, brothers and sisters, that you in time past were Gentiles. At the time you were without Christ, aliens, strangers from the covenant of promise, no hope without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometime were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. He's our peace. And went on to say he came and preached peace to you that were afar off, rebels. Peace. You didn't want peace. You didn't ask for peace. He came to make peace. Came to break down that enmity in you. Came to show you you need peace and you can't make it. And I'm going to make it for you. You're a rebel. A leper. They were afar off and they were all lepers. Oh, brothers and sisters, isn't that all of us, huh? Isn't that all of us? And Adam all died, all made sin, all lepers. Without God, without Christ, but God. Verse 13. Before I go on, let me say this. Everyone is far from God. And scripture, the song says, and dead in trespasses and sin. Once far from God and dead in sin. No light, I see. Every one of us. We're strangers to the covenant, strangers to the gospel, no hope without God in the world. Lepers, didn't know it, didn't want saving. You know, people don't think they need saving and people don't want saving. Here's the greatest proof that people are without God, that people hate God, Romans 3 says. Hate God. That's strong language. Well, that's what the scripture says. Hate God. The strongest proof, the greatest proof, evidence that men and women and young people hate God is they'll do anything. They'll go anywhere but come and sit and listen to the Word of God just for a little bit. Just come and sit, and that's all we're doing. Just listen to a man, read God's Word, make some comments on it, sing some songs, thanksgiving and praise to the God. That's what we ought to be doing, shouldn't it? That's what all flesh ought to be doing. Thanking God, because by the grace of God we all are what we are, have what, shouldn't we be? Shouldn't all flesh be gathered today and giving thanks to God? Just, that's not much, is it? Compared to. But to get people to do that, they'd rather do anything but that. Anything. I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything. I'm not going to church with you. That's ultimate proof of God, man's hatred of God, isn't it? Far off. All right. Adam and Eve, when they sinned in the garden, before they sinned, God was their life, their all, their love. They loved it when they heard the voice of the Son of God come walking in the garden. They loved it. Adam would say to Eve, honey, it's the Lord, come. Let's go meet with the Lord. Honey, yes, I'm coming. And when they sinned, they both went and hide. And they heard his voice, and they were running from it. Don't want it. That's proof in it. Yeah, but verse 13, they all lifted up their voices, though. Verse 13, it said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They all lifted up their voice. They're all lepers and knew it. They all had this sickness, and they knew it. They were in trouble. They had some pains. They had some suffering in the flesh. And so they all of them lifted up and said, Jesus. And all men and women and young people, when they get in trouble, they have trouble with the flesh. And sin is the reason. Sin is the cause of all our troubles. And everyone at some point in time is going to call on God when they get in trouble. Everyone, without exception. You hear people all the time, oh God. Back when those, in 2001, when those jets, when the Lord sent those jets to tear down the towers. The Lord did that. And people everywhere were saying what they do now, oh my God. Everywhere. On the news, they were interviewing people. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. One Catholic priest. A Catholic priest said this. He was being interviewed. He said, well, it's good because I hear everybody everywhere calling on the Lord, calling on God. That's not calling on God. You ain't calling on God when you get in trouble. Everybody does that. And they get afraid. Everybody does that. That's not calling on the name of the Lord. Many cry Jesus. When I was in my early 20s, and the Lord had already dealt with me, and I believe revealed himself to me. I had some old friends that I still was in contact with. And one of my best friends as a boy, his father died. I liked the man a lot. I was over at this boy's house all the time. He had two brothers and a sister. Four of us. And I liked him. Boone was his name. Booney, we called him. One of my best friends. We were bosom buddies. And his dad died when he was in his early 20s, me too. And I went to the funeral. And we're sitting in a little room in the back. And, of course, he and his brothers and everybody's just distraught. And they're in trouble and all. And I started talking to him about the gospel. About death and dying and why. And he agreed with everything I said. You know, he's so serious. Yeah, you're right. He's agreeing with everything I said. As my dad said, and I'll say it too, I've never seen anybody lastingly affected by a funeral. It just doesn't happen that way. Because everybody gets serious. And everybody starts thinking about God when trouble happens. Whatever it may be. But when the trouble is over. No sooner is the body buried in the ground. And the dirt put over top of the casket. And men go on their way. And they forget. They forget. Immediately. And go on their ways. Go on their way. Well, my friend, died a horrible death. Right? Drugs and guns. Died. That should have been me. It could have been me. We're the same. But God did what? Turned me. Verse 14 said, when he saw them, he said unto these 10 lepers, go show yourselves unto the priest. It came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Go show yourself unto the priest. He saw them. He saw them. Our Lord sees everything and everyone. You know that? His eyes behold, his eyelids try the sons of men. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout all the earth. Nothing. He that made the eye, doesn't he see? The ear, doesn't he hear? Absolutely. Everything. Every idle word, every deed, every sin. He sees it all. Now that causes fear in God's people. But since the world doesn't believe him, bother them. They don't believe that. But he saw them. And he looked on them with pity. And he looked on them with mercy. And he told them, go show yourselves to the priest. And they did, and they were all healed. All 10 of them. And the Lord in mercy, Psalm 145 says, the Lord is gracious. He's good to all that call upon him. His tender mercies are over all his work. Doesn't it say that? Psalm 145. His tender mercies are over all his work. You know that if anybody is healed, the Lord does it. That's right. With or without means, it's not. Brothers, it is not the means. It's the Lord. He might use it, he might not. And that's a test. See who's going to get the glory. Okay? So many have used the means. He didn't heal them. Brothers and sisters, we pray. He didn't do it, did he? But he did. Made them whole. Thank God for them. The means weren't effectual. Thank God for them. After a while, my sister said, I'm not taking any more treatment. I'm not taking any more chemo. I'm not taking any more. I'm not taking any more. What did the Lord do? Made her whole. No more sin, no more suffering, no more sorrow. Who did it? The Lord did it. Healed her. If anybody's healed of anything, this is why I detest to see things like this. This and such saved life. Seatbelt saved life. Salvation is of the Lord. The Lord killeth. The Lord saveth. The Lord maketh alive. The Lord maketh rich. The Lord maketh poor. Give glory where it's due. If not, he'll send strong delusions. See? He healed them all. He said, go to the priest and show yourself and do this. And Leviticus 13 talks about that. Well, they went. They went to the priest. And on the way, they were cleansed. It was a miracle. It was a miracle. All 10 of them. Miracle. They went headed to the priest to do what was required of them according to the law. And you know, many people get religion. They get in trouble and they get religion. They go to the priest. They go to the priest. You have a few in here that went to the priest, didn't you? Didn't you, Catherine? Went to the priest, Mike. Went, confessed your sin for a priest. Man, Lord sure brought you out of darkness, didn't he? You know how many millions are still in confessing to a man? Now they went to the priest. And so many people. And you know the Lord does tell us to go seek the Lord. Go where his words preach. Go, go. You need a high priest. You know that? You need a high priest. But there's only one. You need an altar. But it's not down here. You need a sacrifice. It's not what you do. It's Christ. And many people get religion and they literally go to priests. They go to the Pope or a Protestant Pope. And many have life-changing experiences. Many have life-changing experiences. They have miracles, have signs and wonders. They quit this and quit that. Did you hear? Oh, so-and-so's going to church and he's quit his drinking. He quit beating his wife. He's quit beating his dog. And it's a miracle. What's happened to old Billy Bob? He ain't the same man. Why? What happened? I don't know. Just a miracle. Now that's not salvation. Salvation is not an experience, not a life-changing event. It's not an emotional feeling. It's not something that happens to you. You don't know what. Something happened. I don't know what. That was probably bad pizza the night before. You had indigestion. That's what's happened. That's that feeling, that warm feeling that's coming up. Salvation comes. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And nobody saved apart from hearing a holy God on a throne, man dead in sin, and one remedy for sin, Christ on the cross. Christ said when the Holy Spirit comes, here's what he's going to do. Here's how the Spirit of God is going to make lepers clean. He's going to show them, he's going to cause them to look to that serpent of brass hanging on a pole, to Christ crucified. He's going to convince of sin concerning Jesus Christ. Righteousness, you don't have one. There's only one to be had. And Jesus Christ has it all. And judgment, there's a judgment to be faced. And you can't face it. If Christ doesn't face it for you, you're a goner.
Sure.
Look, now look. One hope. One way, one truth, one life. Look. That's how people are saved. Convicted of sin against God. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. What am I going to do? At Acts chapter 2, all of them were convicted. We've rejected the Son of God. We've rejected the one in whose hands our breath is. We have killed the Son of God. And he might now he might kill us. What are we going to do? Peter said, repent. Repent. You ever hear that today? Oh, God loves you. Nothing to repent of. A sign over here at the Woodlawn. Some of you went to Woodlawn. A sign says, remember, Christ died for you. It doesn't say that in this book. That's to trod underfoot the blood of the Son of God. That's to cast it out there before swine and tell them, Jesus died for you. No, he didn't. He died for his sheep. He came to make an effectual sacrifice for sin forever for his people and put it away. Don't shout, preacher. Open the windows.
That's right.
That's the worst blasphemy of every blasphemy is to say that Jesus Christ died for everybody and you make his blood effectual. You accept his blood. God, he made an offer. He made an attempt. He made a down payment. You got to pay the rent. And if you accept the blood of the Son of God. If you accept what Jesus did for you, God will accept you. God will be so pleased with you. Oh, that's another gospel. It's blasphemy. It's never saved a soul. Nobody's ever saved that confessed that did that. Not one. Here's salvation. You realize I'm a leper. God's holy. I can't do anything about it. I'm dying from this sin. And I've rejected God's Son. Will he accept me? Will he have mercy on me? Will God, the chief of sinners, spare? Would he do that? I don't see how. I know Christ died for somebody, but how can it be me? Look at our text. It says in verse 14, it came to pass, they that went, they were cleansed. In verse 15, and one of them, just one of them, just one out of 10, saw that he was healed and he turned back. And with a loud voice glorified God. Where did he turn? Who did he turn to? Who did he come back to? Jesus Christ. It says he, with a loud voice, glory to God. Who is he talking about? That man standing in front of him. Jesus Christ. He's the one who healed me. He's the one. Turn back. Woman's been talking with my wife about, you know, repentance and all that. She's confused about repentance. You won't be confused if you ever repent. If God gives you repentance, you won't be confused. This woman thinks it's up to us to repent. And we have to turn ourselves. And she brought up the prodigal son. That the prodigal son came to himself. How? How did he come to himself? The whole world doesn't see themselves as they are. The whole world is in the hog pen. The whole world is in this slime pit called planet Earth. The whole world is in darkness. So were we. How? How did that prodigal son come to see himself in the hog pen? God showed him himself. God showed him himself. It's like he did me one day with my buddy Booney. and all my other cronies, but God. I love election. Oh, I love the truth of a sovereign election. One turn, a remnant, a tenth. I was going to read Isaiah 6, John. There's another one I was going to read. Talked about a holy God, and Isaiah said, I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And he said a coal and said, your iniquity's purged. Lips. And he went on to say, you go blind these people. You go shut their ears. He said, how long? He said, till the world is no more. He said, but yet there's a tenth. A tenth shall turn. A remnant shall be turned unto the Lord. Because the Lord turns them. If he doesn't turn them, they won't turn. That's why David prayed, turn us again. See, he turned David the first time. You got to turn us again and again and again and again. Now look, no. Turn. Yeah, but turn. Don't look there. Look unto me and be saved. One man turned. And with a loud voice, we just sang that song. Love so amazing, so divine, deserves song of loudest praise. With a loud voice, glorified God. Look at what he did. He turned. He turned with a loud voice, glorified God. He gave God all the glory. This is how you know somebody's saved. This is how you know somebody, the Lord has had mercy on somebody. This is how you know the Lord has revealed himself to a dead sinner. They give God all the glory. All the glory for their repentance. All the glory for them understanding. All the glory for their sight, for their hearing, for their repentance, for their conviction of sin, for their salvation. They give God all the glory. That's how you examine doctrines. That's how you examine things, the truth, as opposed to the fault. Which one gives not some of the glory, but all the glory? Man's choices of God or God's choice of man? Who gets the glory? The blood of Jesus Christ shed for every single human being and man's faith make it effectual? That give God all the glory? Or the blood of Jesus Christ putting away every single sin of every one of God's people? And they didn't want anything to do with it. But God. The Holy Spirit trying to save people, you know, trying. And men find somebody finally accepts him as their personal savior. Does that give God all the glory? Or a Holy Spirit coming to a rebel, coming to a rebel that hates God, a thief on a cross, to say, you will believe. You will repent. You're no longer an enemy because I have chosen you. Now, who gets the glory? Breaking down the end. And look at what he did. It's very simple. He was turned back. And he glorified God, gave God all the glory, and he fell down on his face at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Giving him thanks. That's how it is. He was turned, glorified God, fell at the feet of Jesus Christ, gave him all the thanks. That's salvation, John. Oh, God, that shined in our hearts to give the light of the glory of God. Where is it? It's in the feet. It's in the face and the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every sinner, and God has mercy on, shows them their sins. They'll glorify God. They'll fall at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving him all the thanks for their salvation. When the Lord rose from the grave, the first thing he did was show them his hands and his feet. And he was a Samaritan. What's that? A half-breed. He's not Jew. He's not Gentile. He didn't know what he was. Where is he from? Like some of you, you know. Like all of us. Yeah. Oh, he was a Samaritan. And our Lord answered, verse 17, he answered, Jesus answering, said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Where are the others? Why aren't they giving God all the glory? Because God didn't choose them. Because they really don't believe the Lord did it. That they had something to do with it. It was just a miracle, just a wonder. Where are the 9? Isn't that a good question to ask? And all we're doing here this morning is trying to give God all the glory. That's all I'm trying to do, give God all the glory. All I'm trying to do is point men to Christ. That's it. Not the choir, I don't have one, not myself. Gosh, don't look to me, please. Trying to just lift up Christ and Him crucified and men look. Why don't men look? Why don't men come? Where are the 9? Where are the 90 percentile? Where are they? They must not be lepers. Must not have been leper. Where are the 9? And they're not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. See that? And you that were afar off, strangers. And he said to him, finally, arise, go thy way. Where do you think he went? Doesn't say, does it? Where do you think he went? This happened many times. Go thy way. You know, 100% of the time, they followed him. Go thy way. And he said, thy faith hath made thee whole. He was healed. Now he's whole. What's the difference? Well, the Lord heals every disease. If somebody's healed of any disease, the Lord did it, didn't it? With God's people, He makes whole. Whole. Complete. We're complete in Him. Here's the will of God. That everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on Him, Christ said, I will raise him up. Arise. My soul, arise. Shake off thy guilty fear. The bleeding sacrifice on thy behalf appeared. Before the throne thy surety stand. His name, our names are written on his hand. Our names are written on his hand. And in Christ we're complete. We're whole. We're without sin. I still feel leprosy rising up. We'll turn back. And you'll see, no? You're clean. It's just your feet being washed. Whole. Made us whole. All right, John, let's close.